Everyone, welcome, welcome. Okay, we got it. I have to click the got it button for the recording. Here we are. This is what's coming through in a lot of meditations this week for me. So I'm just going to say these words. They're right out of the book, sprinkled throughout. Fire, electric, launch, rocket, firing lines, on fire. Okay, there's just something coming through. Recently, I get on a kick. I'm still, an obsessive addict who gets on kicks. I just get on kicks with the big book. We need fire. We need fire, okay, to launch into this program of action and to stay there. I just want to kick it off with those words. I was mucking up vision for you recently. I dive into that chapter a lot, probably every few weeks with those that I work with. And I love CA. I love CA. I came into the rooms of CA in this like Zoom era, in the Zoom area. Okay, like the rooms to the Zooms. Here we are. And this is what I found in CA. This is what I believe is my responsibility to bring to, my in-person meetings and all the other fellowships that I'm a member of. I'm just going to hit us with some lines. Here's one on 159. This was back in the day, right? Seeing much of each other, scarce an evening passed that someone's home did not shelter a little gathering of men and women, happy, happy in their release. Release from what? The bondage of self, okay, and their freedom. And constantly thinking about how they might present their discovery to some newcomer. So I have to remind myself and remind all the recovered addicts in the room that we are here for the newcomer, right? Because otherwise, what do we do? You ever be in these meetings? It's like, oh, you're with your people. My home group, my in-person home group is like this sometimes, and sometimes we don't have a lot of newcomers in and we're all there and we're all quoting the book and we're all sharing solution. And basically what, we're all like jerking each other off. Everybody's like, you smile at each other. You're like, yeah, right. But like, that's all cool. But like, we are here for the newcomer. And, throughout the 164, there's a lot of focus and we need it. There's a lot of focus on the effective conditions for one addict working with another. It's just all throughout there. And that extends, through my recovery, that extends, beyond, working with others in the rooms, right? It's working with others. That's the title of the chapter, all others. So I love to look at those do's and don'ts and those effective conditions for all relationships in my life. But in a vision for you, we get the effective conditions for our meetings. And I've always found that. I've always found that in CA. Top of 160. Okay. That they could be attended by anyone and everyone interested in a spiritual way of life, period. Period. End of sentence. This is a place where new people might bring their problems. Many an addict who entered there came away with an answer. So we're here to provide the answers for our newcomers. It should be a stimulating and electric atmosphere. There's that word, electric. We should offer the practical approach to problems, absence of intolerance, informality, genuine democracy, uncanny understanding, Top of 161. People should leave elated by the thought of what they could now do for some stricken acquaintance and their family. Right, so we got to fire each other up for service here. I just want to hit that before I even qualify, and share my gratitude for the CA rooms because I've been welcomed and I've seen those effective conditions in our meetings. I know this is a long share, but there's a lot of other recovered addicts. Just through your energy here, help me with the electricity. And if you're party people, we're still party people here. Newcomers, okay, for real, we need that electricity. Otherwise, what the hell are we doing? Who would want this life? Who would want this life of sobriety and recovery and service and you know, if it wasn't like for real, a fucking blast. Let me just say right at the top, if you can't tell, I didn't plan any of this. I just said a prayer. Thank God we had 2 minutes of meditation and you know, God's just gonna use me as a mouthpiece. Slash whatever comes out of my mouth is also what I need to hear always. What am I talking about? Party people, party people. Yes. You know, there was a point where I thought, you know, that really living was, you know, and maybe what recovery had to offer me, you know, it talks about this in A Vision for You too, was kind of like an evenness, you know, like an evenness, like, you know, there wouldn't, I'm nuts. I love the extremes. Like an evenness, and that I would just kind of go along and it wouldn't be that exciting. But what I've come to find is that it's like the greatest surprise party, you know, ever co-created, you know, by the collective, by, you know, my conscious contact with that divine inner resource. And real living for me, the vitality that I get, and it's like all the promises mixed together in, you know, in my book. Is that I get to experience life, capital L, life, and have this human experience where I get the full intensity of my experience of all emotions, you know, just in their extremes as they are presented and worked through me in my life, in my body, in my spirit, in my mind, unemotionally medicated. That's it. That's life for me. Cool. My name is Bianca. I am a gratefully recovered addict of the hopeless variety. I live free today and only today. Only, I'm on a kick with the word only too. Only when I pick up this toolkit. That's the truth. Even today, December, where are we at? December 16th, 2023. If there's newcomers in the room and you know you need a little hope for sober time, you know it's a log if you're not working it. But what date do I want to use? I like to use the date that I made, you know, the big third step decision, not really the date that I was free of all, you know, I was free chemically, let's just say that, which was a few days prior. June 25th, 2019. So I'm young in the game, you know, 4 years plus after about 10 years of in and out. I wouldn't even call it half-assing. I wouldn't even call it that. It was like no assing. In and out, rolling through lots of different recovery spaces. Have to say that. Because that was one of my logs. I come from a big book sponsorship group. We just use this, you know, this analogy, you know, comes from page 28 in our book. You know, we sought the same escape with all the desperation of a drowning person. You know, it's this analogy, you know, we're drowning in the water. We see logs on the surface, keyword surface. You know, we think they're going to keep us afloat. And they do, I guess, you know, for a minute. You know, maybe a week, a month, year, multiple years. You know, and one of my logs, you know, was being really connected in a lot of different recovery spaces. You know, I had 10 years of group therapy, addiction specialists, you know, hit meetings sometimes, read literature sometimes, did all the, you know, inner child work, trauma work, all this shit as I was, you know, still fucking around. You know, to delude myself, basically, that I was, you know, I was doing it. And then that kept me afloat, you know, and I had a lot of recovery knowledge too. If there's any, you know, recovery kids in the room or recovering parents, I know we probably got a lot in this room. Yeah, just to share a little bit of the personal details of where I come from. I grew up in recovery. I have two parents, God bless them, 33 years, I think this year. And you know, so I heard the jargon and I used it. I knew what to say. I couldn't pull the wool over any true recovered addict's eyes or ears or nothing. I knew who to talk to. People who are as sick as me are sicker. Even in these recovery spaces, isn't it a miracle? It's like the sickest people on earth could come together, and those who are truly in this work, living the steps, living through the traditions, people who would not normally mix, and we can have a pretty solid solution party. I love that. But yeah, I did. I rolled around in a lot of recovery spaces, and a lot of self-help, and it kept me afloat. But the whole thing about, grabbing these logs, including sobriety time, which is why I get a little squirrely around sharing my date. I only share it for, some newcomers, who, that might spark them to get going. All the recovery knowledge that I had was just going to keep me afloat. And I didn't really realize until I was, gasping. I'll just stick with the analogy, really gasping and fighting for my life. That I was still in the fucking water. Excuse me. Like, do we not want to get out of the water? Wild. So I clung on to logs for 10 years plus before, June 25th. So today I need to live according to these principles, and I need to pick up these tools in various forms, daily. That's the only way that I live free. I used to do my little intro and, formally fuck, now free, and not really give the details of that. But I gotta be rigorously honest. I'm only free when I pick up the toolkit. I'm still beyond human aid. I'm on a little kick with the present tense too. I can't excuse myself from any sentence in this book. Like, without help, it is too much for us. Without help, it is too much for us. Always present tense. God commenced to do the things for us which we could never do by ourselves. Not the things that were tough in the beginning. Or, without help in my first 30 days, I needed God. No, I need God every day, all the time, every moment. And it's only by the grace of God that I'm alive and still on fire and still on fire for this work. How does that happen? How does that happen? How do we go from, being in this position of, total and complete powerlessness to then living out a step 12 practice of wielding a power, a divine, cosmic, interdimensional, time traveling power to carry a message to help others? That's wild. That's wild. And that's the steps. That's the journey from 1 to 12 and staying in that practice. I work with others, if it wasn't obvious. I want to break down that hopeless variety for our newcomers. When I say I'm the addict of the hopeless variety, that means, yes, of course, when I was using, but even today in an untreated, when I don't take my medicine, okay, as an ill person. If you're listening, I'm just banging my big book like towards the screen. When I'm untreated, I'm hopeless. No matter how much I want to stop, wish to stop, need to stop, try to stop, I cannot on my own power. I can't. I can't. And I'm hopelessly obsessed. I'm hopelessly obsessed with escaping this, the dis-ease, the discomfort. That's a nice way of saying it, right? Like the utter demolition and annihilation, confusion, bewilderment, terror, terror. that I'm experiencing. And I can experience that in a half a thought that I haven't picked up in some time. Yeah? Because the ism is what we're looking at. That's what I need to look at. You know, forget the insanity of what happens after I pick up. Anybody would be insane after they did, even the non-addicts doing whatever, you know, for fun or, you know, they're not immune to the effects of what we pick up. Okay? That doesn't make me insane. What makes me insane is my state prior, my state, why I feel I need to do that. You know, I did the most insane shit. Not when I was high. The most insane shit I did sober to get what I needed. You feel me? That's actually, you know, are like junkie pride stories that we exchange. Mine are all like, I was sober. Okay. You know, I was, yeah. That's when I'm really nuts. That's when I'm really in trouble. That's how I know that I'm a crazy addict, is not because of the amount or what I picked up or what happened. Like, again, you're getting raw truth of Bianca's experience, strength, and hope today. You know, what makes me an addict that needs this treatment for alcoholism on an ongoing basis for the rest of my life is my thinking. Is my thinking. And this, you know, hole in my soul that I try to fill, that God-sized hole. And what I will do to get it. Before, you know, I have this solution, or before this solution gets presented to me, even on the daily, usually in the form of capital P divine pain, that God reminds me and wakes my ass up to the fact, you know, the facts about myself, that I am powerless without divine help. I'm 100% hopeless and 0% helpful apart from divine help. I'm nuts. You know, we're all nuts. I'm gonna take us to, I also felt called to maybe hit more in a vision for you as I qualify today. I'm on 151. I love 151. You know, they're so sweet in the beginning of the book. You know, you might be an addict. You're probably suffering. You might be suffering from an illness which only a spiritual experience will conquer. You know, like, we beg of you to be this and that. Now we get to vision for you. They don't hold back. It's very poetic, but it's a real deep shit. You know, for most normal people, you know, thinking, that's how I sponsor. I replace drinking for thinking, right? And that list could go on. Thinking, drinking, using, acting out, whatever weird shit you do. But it starts with the thinking. For most normal folks, thinking means conviviality, companionship, colorful imagination, hello, fantasy. It means release from care, boredom, worry, joyous intimacy. Okay, life is good, but not so with us in the last days of our heavy thinking, drinking, using. The old pleasures were gone. They were but memories. Never, never could we recapture the great moments of the past. I like to play with dead things. It's like one of my favorite things to do is play with dead things. I throw in some details here and there. God's just calling me to do it. I had, you know, I know the fatal nature of this disease, as many of you do. On June 25th, 2019, when I made my third step decision, which also included me checking my ass into a treatment center on nothing but the chemicals in my own brain at that time, You know how it goes if you've been in, or maybe if you've been to jail, strip searched and, needles in my arm, getting tested and all this stuff. Just such a humbling experience. All my belongings, everything, just kind of belly up starfish. The day after that, June 26th, my partner hanged himself. They had to call the treatment center to tell me, if I needed an example of how this disease leads us to the gates of insanity or death. Page 30, that was the only line I had underlined in my big book for months. That was it. That was the only line, because I had really lived that, intimately. Two addicts, one going right up to the gates of insanity. Thank Christ I didn't go through it. I was pulled back by this divine power, and I watched my partner go right through. Right through, by his own hand, done. And I know the nature of this disease, and to bring some humor to it, the people in my life who really knew me, and they were serious, okay? They were serious. They were like, B, this was months later, and they told me that they thought maybe I would AMA from treatment and then go literally try to like dig up this man's body. Okay. Like reanimate a corpse or dig up the ashes and eat them or like something. Like, I'm okay. Like, they really thought maybe I would do that. So just know the kind of stuff that I did, like literally dig up something like to reanimate and recapture these great moments of the past. Because I picked up a lot of stuff. It was more, I don't have a cup or a bottle here just to shake it as an example. It's more than that, okay? It's the fork, it's the credit card, it's the phone. It's really the person. The fantasy, the thought, the identity. I'll pick it up. I'll pick it all up. And I love to play with the things that are already dead. Death was my number one on my fear inventory, probably on most of ours. And it's not just the physical death, it's all forms. The death of identity, the death of memory, the death of relationship, the death of a day, the death of a breath. Like, who would I be? What is life beyond this? It's that terror that, that third step decision might just suck me into a hole that is far worse than anything I have ever experienced, where I'm not in control. After being so deluded, that's my real addiction for real. Is this illusion and delusion of control, which they're gonna hit in the next line here. I have to ground myself in the book when I get super bouncy like this in a share. Yeah, dead things, man. Old ideas, old ideas. Love playing with that untreated. Yet there was an insistent yearning. This is it. An insistent yearning to enjoy life as we once did, chasing that first high, right? It's dead. It's dead. We don't know how to honor death when we're untreated. Capital D, divine, death, and yes. Okay, so there's an insistent yearning to enjoy life as we once did, and a heartbreaking obsession. There's that obsession of the mind that some numerical, lowercase m miracle, human aid miracle. Okay, my own thinking miracle or a human system or a three-dimensional solution miracle of control would enable us to do it. There was always one more attempt and one more failure. Isn't that the truth? I love this next paragraph, right? Becoming subjects of King. Here it says alcohol. I'm just going to shift it to addiction, capital A, right? It's mad there. Loneliness, terror, bewilderment, frustration, despair. I love that they capitalize those. I get on kicks with that a lot in the book. When they capitalize something, they are, honoring the divinity in that thing. Sometimes it's, the false idol, like high finance in Bill's story, capital H, capital F. These guys jump from the towers of high finance. They were worshiping the high finance. Here we got capital T, terror, bewilderment, frustration, despair. For me, this is part of that capital D, divine darkness. in a step one experience. That it's very purpose is to bring me into the light, to wake me up out of it. This is how I part of my psychic change, and that new pair of glasses that I get when I look at these things, even like defects of character, or the experiences that we want to escape, like death, pain, trouble. And these are all, divinely God-given, equal seats at the universal table. How do I reconcile all this pain and what, on a human surface level, we might categorize as bad with the line on page 53, God is everything or God is nothing. What's your choice? If God is everything, now I'm back to that full spectrum, like capital L life is full spectrum, all its intensity and all, capitalized, to demonstrate God's omnipotence. And I'm realizing that I'm using the God word here for our newcomers. It's an ever-evolving conception, not definition. There's a line on 46 that says, none of us, it's impossible for any of us, probably at any time to fully comprehend or define that power that is God. So let's not get hung up on, the definitions. It's ever evolving. This creator consciousness, mighty purpose and rhythm, spirit of the universe, sunlight of the spirit, fellowship of the spirit, divine, unsuspecting inner resource. I know I'm missing them. They're just sprinkled throughout the book. Great reality. Look the world in the eye. This world. Hello. Come back to reality. It's all in there. Until we make our amends with that word God, if you've got an issue with it, there's a lot of paths we can take to reprogram. Page 47. Don't let any prejudice you might have against these spiritual terms deter you from asking yourself what they really mean to you. I had to do a lot of reprogramming with the God word. I had to do reprogramming with good and bad. I work with light and dark, and there's lots of light and dark references in this book. I worked with, alignment, along this line, proper use of the will, like alignment or misalignment for right and wrong. And now I can say these words like nothing because I know what they mean. I know what they mean to me. We can guide each other through that. 152. Sometimes we can be like this child whistling in the dark, ungrateful. It's a gratitude issue. Ungrateful for our sobriety. Not being able to picture life with it or without it, whatever weird shit that you pick up, right? In thought, in action, etc. Then we will know loneliness such as few do. We're at this jumping off place and we wish for the end. It's grim. We are doomed. We are doomed. We can't do it. It's another shift that happened for me. I used to roll around in these rooms. You ever been in these spaces? You can do it. You go, girl. You got this. We're proud of you. Yay. Claps for you. And how many days? And yay, you, right? That does something to me. That does something to those neural pathways that fucked me for so long in selfishness and in this delusion of control that I'm doing it. I had to get away from okay, and not really participate in that because I learned for me it didn't work. If you're an addict like me, it might not work for you. Okay, but yeah, this like you can do it, missing, the how of it all. The how and the why. The how we can do it, the why we can do it. Page 62, quit playing God. Right? I'm fired. God's hired. I only work for God. I have a new employer here. And the truth is I can't do it on my own power. So I had to get a, God just led me as I was ready and seeking, a leveled up solution and a reprogramming that I can't do this, and I can never forget that I can't do this. I need divine help. It's not even enough for me to concede to my innermost self that I'm an addict. I have to concede to my innermost self that I'm an addict beyond human aid. That's the B of the ABCs on page 60. It hits you right there, right? There's 2 points to that step one AB, and we get our nod to step two in the C. Before I could turn anything over and have any effective practice, even daily today, right? Any effective practice of these steps in my life. Like those three things have to be so solid. I have to be convinced. I have to be convinced. So part of the psychic change, thank you, God, for bringing me back around and bouncing all over the place, is moving from this place of I can't do it. I can't do it. To like, I can't do it. It's like the same fucking roller coaster ride. You want to go, you want to be like, white knuckling, terrified, shitting your pants, or like, hands up, can't wait to see the fucking loop that's coming now. My eyes are wide open. It's the same ride. Okay. It's the same ride. I just, we gain access to this power that works through us to give us this psychic change. Because without the psychic change, there is little hope of my recovery. I'd argue no hope. That was my experience. I needed the psychic change, which was all about the thought life, the spirit life, okay, beyond the physical. Absolutely, we need to be cleared. I can't go through the whole book, but if you're new, clear it out. You got a better chance of understanding and accepting what we have to offer. But beyond that, we're not out of the woods. Okay, the hot flame, page 85, 10-step promises, description of the recovered addict. Because that obsession to use certain things gets removed when you're in this work for real, gets removed, And yet I still need a 10-step practice. Oh, why is that? My hot flames become. It's that are just sizzling, waiting to burn my ass and wreck my life. It's my defects of character. That's really my issue. That's the hot flame. Okay? That I need to recoil. When I'm seldom interested. It doesn't say never, right? Wouldn't that be a great promise? Seldom. Of course we're gonna be fucking interested. Okay? So I need to recoil, so I gotta stay. I gotta stay in that practice. Maybe is that where God wants me to go? Maybe we go there. Maybe we go there. Let's go to 84, 85. I'm just rolling with it. Y'all are troopers. Hopefully we could break it down a little bit more in the Q&A after this. Just trust God, man. Trust God. Clean house. Help others. 84, 85. Because I can make a case for, a full 12-step practice within a 10-step practice. Okay, so we take personal inventory, y'all. These are the steps we took, not the steps we read and thought about and talked about and told others we were kind of doing or thought didn't work because we read them on a wall one time. And you know what I'm saying? We take these steps. It's action. We take personal inventory and continue to set right? Or in alignment with spiritual principles slash God, any new mistakes as we go along, we vigorously with fire, again, I'm trying to bring that fire back, commence this way of living as we cleaned up the past. Can't hit that line without doing a little sponsorship, experience, strength, and hope. I never hold up my sponsees on step nine here because this is what it says. It says, as we cleaned up the past, we vigorously commenced this way of life. This way of life to me means a 10, 11, 12 practice, to get clarity and connection on how to make certain amends, more effectively. Absolutely, we get started, but we gotta get into this practice. Can't hold them up. We have entered the world of the spirit. Our next function, that's at any time, any moment, is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. This is not an overnight matter. It should continue for our lifetime. You know, there's no, I finished the steps, I completed the steps. I always wince when I hear that. You know why? Because if you spot it, you got it. I used to say that shit. I used to say that shit. So I'm always like, oh, you know, when I hear it. Another one I used to say all the time, oh God, progress, not perfection, out of context. Oh, cringe, cringe today, you know? Cringe. Loved using that. Step one as an excuse, my favorite thing, did it for 10 years. Of course I am an addict. What else do you expect from me? What more can I expect from myself? You know? I think I need like a cookie or a medal for going 5 minutes without destroying my life. Progress, not perfection, right? Am I right, guys? You know, and then I had those other sickos going, yay, Bianca, 5 hour, yay. No, okay. Holy hell, I'm really letting it rip today. If I knew I could on outright mental defectives, knew I could let it rip here. All right. So, yeah, this is not an overnight matter. It should continue. It should continue for our lifetime. Page 275, I'm not going to go there, but if you're a book nerd, 275 is a great passage, you know, about continuing this work and never outgrowing, never outgrowing. So we continue to watch. So an awakening word, watch for selfishness. Oh my God, so self-centered. So self-centered. Both my ego shot through the fucking roof. I'm hot shit. You're gonna be thinking about me in 20 years with your goddamn wife. Okay? And the arrogance of my self-loathing. I'm a piece of shit. I'm lower than dirt. I'm inherently defective on a soul level. Bing, 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 ping-ponging all selfishness. And I am at the center of everything, at the center of everything. My dishonesty in all its forms. Oh my God, performance, manipulation, you know, self-delusion. I could go on, but I won't. I'm looking at the time. You know, my resentment, number one offender. It's not the bottle or the line or the needle or again, the binge or the homicidal abusive partner or the STD or the whatever that kills us. It's the selfishness and it's the resentment because that's what happens up here in my thinking before I pick up the first. And I'm off on that well-known spree that I don't share too many details about my sprees. I save it for one-on-one. I like to focus on, you know, the same pattern that we all have and the same problem we all have. 45, lack of power. Lack of power is all I sought, you know, and that's what I'm seeking here when I'm watching for these things, when these things crop up, you know, selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. And fear. Are we not ruled by fear untreated? Holy shit. But yeah, I'm seeking, I get caught up in those things when I forget I'm beyond human aid. And I'm seeking power and I'm seeking freedom. I just don't go to God first. And that's death if you're an addict like me. You know, that's death for us. So we watch for these things. When these crop up, because they will, we ask God at once to remove them. How are you going to do that if you don't have a solid step two, step three, step seven, step 11? How are we going to do that? I just want to put it all in here. Why would I even have a 10-step practice if I didn't have a solid step one? I just want to work all the steps in here. We ask God at once to remove them. Gotta know my six and seven that I'm not doing the removal. I am not doing the removal. We discuss them with someone else immediately. Hello, step five instructions. Discuss them with someone else immediately. Not discuss it. Not waste time, you know, in column two bullshit about what the situation was and the context and the circumstance and the gray area and who's this and all the characters in the scene and all my history behind it. But I have to discuss them. Arrow up. What is them? My selfishness, my dishonesty, my resentment, my fear. You know, these are the things that are blocking me that I have to get rigorously honest on. And this is the stuff on my side of the street. I have to make amends quickly if I've harmed anyone. How do I do that? Got to know my 8 and 9 instructions. Then we resolutely turn our thoughts to someone we can help. Step 12. You know, shout out to service and all its forms and how we carry this message. And then we get these promises. This is how I gauge my spiritual fitness. You know, this is the, it's so common, you know, when we work with each other, you know, sponsees, God Squad fellows, whatever, you know, we have to make decisions in this life. You know, there's games to be played, there's places to go, you know, relationships to start and end, and money to be spent or not, and all of these things, these real decisions. You know, how do we know? We got one big decision to make, that's step three. You know, and then we have to invite God in and invite these principles in to determine which course to take and these other decisions. And you know, go or stay away. That's page 102. You know, go or stay away, do it or don't do it, whatever's best. But be sure you're on solid spiritual ground before you go, you know, and that your motives are aligned. So the way that I check my spiritual fitness and, you know, and decision making or whatever is, you know, how am I holding up? How's my experience holding up against these step 10 promises? And my sponsorship crew, we usually put these out as the description of the recovered addict. We have ceased fighting anything or anyone. Anyone a fighter? There's a big 12-step journey is a big, you know, it's the journey from fight to flow for me. We have ceased fighting anything or anyone, for by this time, sanity will have returned. So throwback to step two, you know, where we had the belief, now it's actually a lived experience. We will seldom be interested. There we go. Seldom, not never, in whatever you pick up. And if tempted, we recoil from it as from a hot flame. You know, my chronic relapsers, or you know, as you might describe yourself, old idea. But you know, if you find yourself, you know, falling short of the ideal, and you know, check your 10-step practice. If you have the full toolkit, you know, and you got it. It was delivered to you and passed on to you. Check your 10-step practice, you know, because that's a real simple one. Didn't recoil from the hot flame. I love that as a like diagnostic tool. Know your promises and know what steps they're connected to. You know? Like what am I not experiencing? What is this fellow that I'm working with not experiencing? You know, especially like let's get through the toolkit fast so we can just talk in, you know, in the context of the steps. And we don't have to get into the details of me being the arbiter of, you know, telling you what to do, what lectures to be, you know, you got no lectures to be endured. That's not my job as a sponsor. You know, our job is to outline the program of action, to share my experience, and to turn each other back to these instructions and back to God, to actually truly empower, capital P in the middle of that word, truly empower each other. Oh my God, I just keep wanting to bounce around, but let's finish this off with the promises of step 10. You know, we recoil as from a hot flame. We react sanely and normally. We will find how through our experience. Anytime it says like find, discover, learn, it's always through my own experience. I've heard a lot of good stories, a lot of great shares, but you don't know until you know. Isn't that wild? So you know, I find, okay, I find that this happens automatically. Right? If I'm in a practice following the clear-cut directions here, it happens automatically. I will see, wake up, I will see that my new attitude has been given to me. I didn't figure it out. Given to me without any thought or effort on our part. Are we putting a lot of thought and effort into something? Check your 10th step. It just comes. That is the miracle of it. We are not fighting it. Neither are we avoiding temptation because we know that doesn't work. Page 101, not going to work. We feel as though we had been placed in a position, been placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. We have not even sworn off. We know that cycle. I quit. I'm done forever. I'm never. Yeah, right. Okay. You come to this point, you don't even have to swear off. Instead, the problem, lack of power. Lack of power has been removed. It does not exist for us. We are neither cocky nor are we afraid. Am I feeling ego through the roof or piece of shit in the dirt? Check tense up. Like, that is our experience. That is how we react so long as we keep in fit spiritual condition. That's how we react. I don't know where I'm at with time because the timer went away. Maybe I'll end with
You got like 6, 7 minutes.
oh, brilliant. Okay. I love it. Oh my God. I'm just having fun today. I'm just having fun. Page 59. Okay. Step one. Today. Okay. I have to admit, concede to my innermost self. You know, let's just check each other. These are yeses and nos. You know, if you have the toolkit, you know, if you don't have the toolkit, get with a recovered addict. There's a lot of people on fire for this solution, I'm sure, in this room today. They're gonna get this toolkit into your hands, into your hearts very quickly. Okay, so you could just get a grip enough to pass it on to someone else and have the real experience. Okay, I have a full 12-step program. So I admit today that I am an addict beyond human aid. Okay, that on my own, my life is totally unmanageable. Without help, it is too much for me. I'm in this ever-evolving journey of step two with my agnosticism, even today, that this power greater than me can restore me to sanity. I made a decision. I made a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God, which includes divine timing for my impatient party people placing the time demands. I could give a whole hour talk on just divine timing and the place of that in my program. You know, the care of God includes divine timing, right? This power, as we understand or experience this power. That's all things. Page 14. Turn all things over to the Father of Light, not just the bottle or the this or the that or whatever. All things. Have I made a searching and fearless moral inventory of myself, me, not the world, not others, myself, me? Have I made that action word, not thought about it? Do I need to? Is there a call in me to some fourth step work today? Have I admitted to God, to myself, and another human being the exact nature of my wrongs, defects over details here, of my misalignments, and my shortcomings? Do I know my step five instructions on who the fuck I'm supposed to talk to, which is not a child, not someone on a first date to hook them with your history of trauma and resentment and sex conduct, and not my mother at 7 a.m. before I pray, and not my I'm saying these things because this is what I did, obviously. Okay, I hope you, if you feel called out, you're just like me, you know, call me after the meeting. You know, am I speaking to someone whose duty it is, duty, honor, training, okay, whose duty it is to receive it, who's not going to try to change the plan of focusing on what's blocking me? And yeah, really gets it. I could go nuts on those. Six, am I entirely ready? Do I even admit this, that my defects of character are objectionable? You know? That they're fatal, futile, destructive, and blocking me from this two-way relationship with the one, capital O, or oneness that has all this power that's actually gonna, you know, relieve me and move me when I cannot move. Am I ready for that? For God to do that. Humbly asking God to remove my shortcomings. If I had more time, I'd take you through my own extended step seven prayer just to get real honest. How's my step eight? Am I working through that? Have I made a list of all? I modified all. I make amends for my resentments to, you know, groups of people, institutions, you know, even if it's 4D amends and, you know, all these other things that we have, you know, change behavior, whatever that needs to be. Have I made a list of all I had harmed and became willing to make amends to all? How's my step 9 practice, making direct amends to such people or such things wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others? We went through step 10, step 11. How's that? How's that today? My conscious contact through prayer and meditation. Am I praying only for the knowledge of God's will for me and the power to carry that out? Only that? Ew. Do I fall short? Do I fall short? This is the brilliant thing that I've, you know, come to know why I could relax and take it easy in a step 11 practice. When I'm unwilling to go to any lengths, consciously or unconsciously, there is always one that will go to any lengths to wake me up. And that is this power that we call God. You know, I can relax and take it easy. I'm not worried about me. I'm not worried about any of you. I'm not losing a wink of sleep over your ass either. Okay, I'm a recovered codependent here too. Okay, bad. And Alan, oh my God, please, please. More craziness stories there, actually. My controlling of others. But, you know, I can relax and take it easy today. Because if we're really trusting God, right, without any thought or effort on our part, really turning all things over, and just allowing ourselves to be moved through this work, for these steps to work us, then God's going to do it. Okay? It's okay if I'm a little slippy. Step 12, here we are. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, I carry this message. The spiritual awakening as a result of these steps helps me effectively carry this message to other addicts, which helps me effectively practice these principles in all areas of my life. I love the order of step 12. And y'all know we can deep dive into that. I'm gonna end with this. I know my timer just went off, but I have to. Page 45. When therefore Bianca was approached by those in whom, within whom, not by whom, approached by those in whom the problem had been solved, there was nothing left for me. There was nothing left for me then or today, but to pick up this simple kit of spiritual tools laid at my feet. We have found much of heaven. And we have been, thank you. Yes, I knew I was going to get around to it with the fire and the light. Here it is. We have been rocketed into the fourth dimension of existence, of which we had not even dreamed. That means beyond the fantasy of the lowercase p power, the lowercase free, lowercase f freedom that we sought in active addiction. You know, we thought that was as good as it was going to get. It's not. The great fact is this, and nothing less than this, that we have had deep and effective spiritual experiences which have revolutionized our whole attitude, psychic change, beyond sobering up, yeah? Our whole attitude toward life, toward our fellows, and towards God's universe. The central fact of our lives today, any day, is the absolute certainty that our Creator has entered our hearts and our lives in a way which is indeed miraculous, commenced to accomplish those things for us which we could ding, ding, ding. Never do by ourselves. Okay. Thank you.
That was awesome. Thank you, Bianca. Pew, 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 pew. Oh, let me turn off the recording.